and welcome to another DraftPhysics.com video presentation. So the Brozo has produced another air-tracked video. Well, yeah, nothing to be excited about. As expected, it's crap. Disguised. Like it's supposed to be some sort of clinical experiment, and yeah, it doesn't have any of the components of that. Whatever. To some people, it's good enough, right? Just like the Chatelier's clay experiments and sand experiments were good enough for some people. Some people are fooled by Ken Wheeler and his Pharaoh cell magic. But smart people know. Yes, yeah, science and facts can sometimes, you really have to work at it a little bit. So understand the premise of this glider experiment, that there's a tiny margin of error when you're counting frames. This is the fact, especially when you don't have that many frames to count. And the fact is that whatever his frame rate is, it's not 126 frames or whatever he says it is. But anyway, so the numbers I was getting was 12 and 19 per inch. Okay, and the inches I'll demonstrate aren't very reliable. But anyway, so if we accept those numbers, he did the experiment and, he got numbers that are pretty almost consistent with Professor Lewin's experiment. I mean, it's 0.23 off, which is 5% error, at least. And I would be 1.11. So I would be three times further away from the truth than Stephen Brough's experiment. It's off, but it's not off as much as mine is off. I'm off four times more than he is. That's a fact, okay, with the numbers I counted. As honestly as possible. Now the problem is the car going back isn't anywhere close to what it should be. That's a problem. And the reason why is kind of obvious. I mean, it's right in the beginning of the video, but whatever. So I just want to point out that all I have to do is take one frame more. So I make it one tiny frame faster, make the 12 and 11, and make the 19, the going away cart, make it one little tiny bit slower, and all of a sudden, everything sort of reverses. And now I'm twice as close as Stephen Brough. So yeah, I'm four times, one to four here, but it's, I'm closer than he is here by twice as much. So all I have to do is change one little frame, just take one frame. That's a 10% difference. But you're only counting 10 frames or 11 frames. So, yeah, it's easy to make an error. You need a tiny little defect, and there's going to be an error in the results you get. They're going to be way off. So I'm just pointing out how little a defect it takes. Just a little tenth of an inch. It doesn't take much at all. That's what it comes down to, a tenth of an inch. So just as that is context, this is a kind of a precision experiment, unfortunately. Counting frames seems like a good idea, but in practice, it has its limitations. It's just a fact. So, but it really doesn't change anything if something else is broken in the experiment. So let's go to that part. The defects. All right, now the first defect he acknowledges, and it's not a huge problem, but the GoPro camera is a sports camera and it has a wide angle lens which distorts perspective, so things get warped. Now depending on where the center is and what everything else, how much it gets warped, but it does. And the fact is it makes it impossible pretty much to test anything like level or anything like that. After you can't really do any of that stuff because everything's a little bit distorted. But anyway, all right, so let's go to I'll pause and make sure I have the video up ready to play. All right, should be ready here. All right, so let's understand that he doesn't show the air track working, like just have a cart go back and forth, see how fast it dies out, how much friction there is. So he doesn't even put springs on the two sides, allow the cart to swing back and forth. So we don't get any real idea how good or bad this air track is. No idea at all. Okay, and so in the very first two, whatever he calls them, tests that he does, he lets go of the cart. Okay, and you can, obviously, before he pushes it, and you can see just how there's an obviously strong slope here. So we'll just play this little bit here. So he's going to let go of it. Now, it's absolutely no pushing. So he lets go of it. So just understand. You can watch it. I'm not going to go frame by frame, but you can watch. Okay, his hand is not on it. Notice it. You know, I'll play it at regular speed, and then I'll frame by frame it when it starts speeding up. So you can see he just put it on the track. He didn't push it. So it's just placed on the track. Now watch it. Look at it. Look how much speed it's picking up right now. And that's a lot of speed, frankly. It's faster than when he pushes it. So if you go by frames, you know, if we count the frames, it's not faster than when he pushes it. It's as fast as the cart leaving. So the cart leaving is 20. All right, that's a number I had. 19. 12 and 19. I took an average of a couple. Those are the numbers I got. Anyway. So just look, see how fast it's going? It's going faster and faster. So let's go by frame by frame. So we're at 4 1/3. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. I'm not to 19 yet. I could go all the way to the half, right? 17, 18, 19. To get to the 19, to get to the speed of the second cart after it got hit, going 2/3 of the velocity of a push, the car is already going as fast. It's going faster than the big cart is going to leave when he pushes the cart into it. So this is without pushing. I mean, you know, people are going to say that's not a big deal. It's not an indication that the track isn't right. And so just understand, so it has implications both in the fact that, well, what's the rest of the track doing? What's the other side of that track? Over here. Can you see that? Yeah, you can see my mouse, right? Over here, you know, down here, down that way. You know, I have to move I have it enlarged. You could see that. Yeah, you could see that. No, that's the wrong frame. I need this one. So what about down here? See, when he let go of the big cart, see, before he told us there was a hump in his track. You know, there's a little lump in it and a sticking point. Well, if he puts the cart right on the edge of that sticking point and the other cart hits it, it's all downhill from there. Right? So if we have a substantial slope, we know on one side. We know on one side at least there's a substantial slope. It couldn't be going that fast without a good slope. How did it gain all of that speed? I mean, you know, clearly free falling. Can't gain speed unless you're free falling. So clearly the slope had to be continuous. Had to keep giving it more and more energy. If it just drifted a little tiny bit really slow, that wouldn't mean much. But gaining velocity, that means something. All right, so it happens a second time. I don't know if it's worth playing the second time it happens. Maybe it happens more times. I'm just saying it happens. And the one thing we don't get to see is him putting, you know, the other thing he could have done would be simple, was he could have done the experiment the other way. So he does the experiment like 10 times. And what he doesn't ever do is have the carts going this way. See, that would show you if you had some sort of obvious tilt in your air track, is if you did the experiment the opposite way and you got completely different numbers, you know, these numbers instead of those numbers. That would be an indication that you have a bias in your track. Okay, but he didn't do that. No, because he doesn't have any imagination. And, you know, it's just, I mean, it's just such an obvious defect. I mean, you know, if it was my air track experiment, and I was giving it to you and showing it to you to prove my case, and you saw the cart do what I just showed, you wouldn't call me on it? You wouldn't say, hey, you can't do that. You can't do an air track experiment on a slope. What the hell is that? So let's understand, just for clarity. I don't really want to have to draw all this stuff all the time. The carts bounce, okay? So the half mass, let's call this the half mass cart. This is the full mass cart. The half mass cart hits, and then it bounces back. It's supposed to be bouncing back with essentially half the speed of the two mass cart. This one has 2/3 the speed of the original cart. This is supposed to have 1/3 going back, so it's a half of this speed. It's only a quarter of this speed. So it's less than half, a lot less than half of this speed, and certainly less than 1/3. And why would that be a problem? Well, that's because of the gravity thing. You're going uphill. So you're shooting the cart uphill, and you have a spring on it. Well, the spring is going to count your extra weight from the hill, okay, as meaning you have more mass than you really have, and it's going to push the energy into the cart. So that's part of the defect. So not only is the big cart going downhill, the big cart's going to get more energy from the small cart because the small cart's going uphill. So we know for certain that the small cart's going uphill. That's what this cart is rolling here. Okay, it's still going, and it goes faster and faster and faster. It doesn't stop, doesn't indicate like it wants to stop, just keeps going faster, and he finally grabs it. So that's the same hill that cart has to go back up on the return, and clearly it's not going to be able to go up the hill when it's, you know, with the spring on it, because the spring's going to say it's more work to push it up the hill. I'm going to give it less energy because it's more work to push it up the hill. It's going to weigh more, and that means it's going to send more of the energy into the two-mass cart. And the two-mass cart, we assume, probably is still also going downhill. Now, you know, fairness says, let's just show it, and we'll show it. The cart doesn't always move, and it doesn't always move. It certainly doesn't move that way. It's moving a little bit towards, a little tiny bit. It's moving a little bit towards the other cart. But frankly, again, we know he had a hump in his track. So, and all that matters is, what's it do down here? We don't know. So, you know, not an insignificant flaw in this experiment. Now, other details I could point out is the tape measure isn't straight. You can see this edge here. Okay, let's see what you can see. See if you can see what I'm pointing to. See this edge? You can see the edge clearly here. All right, but it goes all gone when you watch his actual, to do this. So see the edge? The edge is there. Okay, it's right there. And down here, the edge disappears, and now the tape measures way over the edge. So he has the tape measure cockeyed. All right, now, next argument I'm going to make is it's another observation you can see is clearly these marks he has made aren't too perfect because the carts actually have different lengths depending on where they are. So if you use this ruler to measure how big the cart is, you'll get different numbers depending on where the cart is on the ruler. That shouldn't happen. I mean, quarter inch kind of differences. All right. And it doesn't add up, frankly. I think we both would assume, right, that he cut these to be 1/2 the size of the other cart. So maybe he had the small cart first, he cut the big one second, he made it twice as big, probably. But the numbers don't match. Okay. I think the number is 17. Yeah, a little less than 17 and then a little more than 8. But it really doesn't match. You know, there's like a quarter inch difference. And there really shouldn't be. It's not logical that there would be. So certainly this ruler doesn't seem like it's very accurate. Okay, it's just can't be. So yeah, I got images. I might as well just show the images. So I'll pause and you can see the cart in a different location and see that the just doesn't match. I think I can do that. Anyway, we'll see if I can do it. All right, in this image, the small cart appears to be 8 1/3, something like that. Pretty close, maybe 0.4 of an inch, something like that. The other cart, you can't really, it's too far off the notches to be useful, so we won't bother with that one. And we'll go look at another one of these images. Actually, putting the images in the video player, which is a little bit, anyway. I have to make it a little smaller because you can't really see the whole cart. All right, so it's this longer cart that gets weird in terms of the numbers. So make it that big. Yeah, this kind of thing you probably want to do yourself. So you can sort of see it's a little less than 17 inches. You know, so just a little tiny, there's just a little bit there. But in another one, it's going to be 17 inches. In another image, it'll be a little, you know, more obviously not 17 inches. So clearly the ruler's off. All right, we need this one bigger. Let's see if we can see that. All right, the other cart looks to be 8 inches and the same, so that one's okay. It's in the same location, that's why it's the same number. You can't tell much from this one, so I don't know exactly why I threw this one in. But anyway, we'll go to this one. And hit the pause. Let's see what it looks like. Yeah, it's over the edges again. I don't know why I kept that one either. That's not very good. But you can see it's a little quarter inch there. It's like 1/8 of an inch short of 17. And in other images, it's going to look a little closer than 17. All right, yeah, there's not much to tell from that one either. Okay, well, I thought I had some better images than that, but whatever. We'll just play this out since I started. I might as well finish it. This one. All right. Yeah, you can't tell anything from that either. Are these images switching? They all look the same to me. Oh, that's the same image. It didn't change the image. That's why. Is that what it's doing? It's actually not showing the other new image. Well, that's really irritating. I change it in the player, it should change it. All right, so we have to figure out another plan. Okay, my bad. All right, I think that's right. I don't know. We'll find out. Okay, so anyway, you can see it's just like barely whatever the number is, 17, I said. And a little tiny bit short of 17. You know, 1/8 of an inch, somewhere around there. 1/16 or something like that. All right, now this one should be a better image of it. Yeah, so this is going from the center out. So you can see that again, that it's supposed to be on this line, and then we have like 1/8 of an inch there, but, you know, it's kind of dicey. And then this one, I think. Okay, so let's see what we got here. Yeah, you can see the whole cart there. So from this perspective, it's a tinier distance. So, you know, obviously this aluminum isn't changing size. So what must be changing size are these notches. I mean, that's a lot less. That's almost right on the line. So that's a lot less than 1/8 of an inch difference. So anyway, I don't know if you can really see that though. Let's see how big we can make it. Yeah, so that's obviously not 1/8 of an inch anymore. Or 1/6 or whatever I said before. It's obviously not the same size. And so obviously, you know, again, one just changing one little frame. Change the frame from, you know, 12 to 19 and make it 11 and 20. And all of a sudden, you know, our roles are reversed. It's that delicate in terms of the difference, you know, between me being right and him being right. And you know, just too flawed an experiment and such. So I'll be back. Yeah, I guess I'll just show this a little bit. It sure doesn't take any chances when it comes to letting go of the big cart. So you can see it doesn't let go of it until it really is just one tiny click before it hits. So he's almost let go of it there. Okay. And it's only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 frames, and it hits. So he's not giving this cart much chance to do any migrating. All right, the other thing to point out is you put this extra weight on for whatever reason, right? So both carts have weight on it, which really just doesn't make any sense. Why did he make the light cart heavier? So, you know, you got to wonder, why is there weight on it? So it weighed 44 grams, I think. I wrote that down somewhere. Let me see. Pretty sure I wrote it down somewhere. 48. Yeah, 74. So it weighed 74 grams. And he put extra weight on it. Why? Doesn't need extra weight. Why mess with extra weight? Why would extra weight be a good idea? You know, so got to wonder why. Why is extra weight on the smaller cart? Yeah, you got to put some balance the two weights, but you obviously have cut the carts to these sizes for a reason. So why is there extra weight on the small cart? It's a legitimate question, I think. You're better off with less weight, not more weight. So again and again, the weight becomes an issue when you're pushing off of a little bit of drag. You know, if you have a is it just adds more gravitational potential. Now, it can only add the same velocity, but it just means that you're more likely to fall from gravity the more weight you have. So it's like things sliding down ramps or stuff. The heavier they are, the more likely they're going to resist. The initial resistance to friction will be less. Now, the amount of friction over the whole course of their path might be more, but to overcome the tipping, you know, it's like tipping a boulder off the edge of a cliff. It doesn't take much energy to tip it when it's heavy. So anyway, I think that's probably enough. So crooked tape measures, even got a piece of tape on it for whatever reason, blah blah blah, not great. Then he puts this big red smeary mark on the line for no good reason, you know. But anyway, and the bottom line is the cart, the little cart, doesn't leave with the right velocity, and that's an indication of a problem. I mean, that's sort of saying something's wrong because you didn't even conserve momentum by Professor Lewin's theory. By his theory, the energy going this way undoes the extra energy this way. So you have 130 momentums going this way, and you undo them with the momentum this way. But you can't undo them if you don't get enough this way. So then you still end up with way too much going this way. And that's what this demonstrates. He didn't conserve momentum. He has too much energy going that way, even to conserve momentum, by using the minus theory, which obviously I don't think has anything to do with reality. So anyway, whatever. Take it for what it's worth. Fine. If you want to see this as a great experiment that proves something, that's your business, that's your prerogative. And to me, it's another flawed piece of evidence in the pile of flawed evidence that we have. It's the only experiment that demonstrates this free energy thing. I couldn't duplicate it with a ballistic pendulum, and I certainly couldn't duplicate Brozo's crazy results with the ball bearings rolling down a track. So we don't have the air track just pushing the two carts, so that would be a good thing to see, you know, because his theory is that the same spring compression won't push the heavier cart at half the speed. Won't happen for some reason. Okay. Whatever. Yeah, fine. That'll be enough. I'll read the comments. I didn't look at any comments yet. And I'll do that tomorrow. People are going to declare victory. That's your choice. You have to live with the results of that in the end. What's the story going to say in the end? Are you really that confident that this is good science? That this isn't there was enough mistakes in this performance of this experiment that the truth got lost. Tiny margins of error, realistically. Okay, that's enough said. So, whatever. Yeah, it ain't over yet. Yeah, not quite. So, This has been another DraftPhysics.com video presentation. Yeah, we still have all the arguments. If you're going to say there's free energy, free momentum, then how is that not free energy? How can I not capitalize on it? How can, you know, how does my perpetual motion machine not work if this is the truth? What he says is the truth. And there's no logic. You can't, you know, you can't put this in the real universe and make any sense out of it. Because especially with oil, you know, oil, a gallon of oil, you know, heating oil is over $4 here now. $4 a gallon. You know, that's a lot of money. Why wouldn't I be using all this free energy if it existed? Anyway. Until the next time and such.